For America.
I do not know of specific circumstances or details of U.S. soldiers dying as a result of efforts to find and rescue Sergeant Bergdahl.
Fighting for Idaho.
The amount of attention on the small mountain town has led to the cancellation of their Bow is Back event.
We're only a town of 8,000. We won't have the capacity for the volume of people that may come to town.
Fighting for you.
Summertime is definitely what we would call financially lean months.
We don't see a decrease in the numbers of people we're serving in the summer, but we do see a decrease in the amount of dollars coming in for support.
Voices Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Once again, we're taking the mantle of living the dream here at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning, the Walmart Garrity in Franklin. Make sure you go to any Walmart and drop off your canned items, your donated items, or buy some new items. I have been, once again, impressed. We're joined by future Canyon County Commissioner Tom Dale, former mayor of Nampa, and I always keep calling you Mr. Mayor. In my heart, you're always the mayor.
Oh, well, thank you. But I am looking forward to moving on to a new challenge, a new role in the local government here. I love local government, and the county is definitely local.
Indeed, you know, when we take a look at who and what we are, you know, we read about you in the papers, and sometimes we look at Tom Dale or other public people as just public figures. You, in fact, are a person. We'll have, you know, and you have feelings and such. Could you take us through the process of running for a county commissioner? Because that was a big story that you decided to run after the mayor's race.
Well, you know, losing the mayor's race afforded an opportunity to take a look at where I'm going for the next phase of my life. I'm not ready to sit back and just be retired. That's not in the books for me right now. And I took a look at what I love to do. I talked to a career counselor, and she advised to just step back and, what do you love to do?
Now, wait a minute. Why would you need a career counselor? You've been successful in public life for many years here in Idaho.
Well, it was just a friend of a friend who said, hey, you need to go talk to this lady. Her name is Stacy. She's got some good insights that may help you in determining the next steps. And, you know, it really did, because I did take some time off. I went out in the desert and just got by myself and thought about what I really like to do. What were my skills? What am I good at? What kind of experiences have I gained over 18 years of working in city government? And it just naturally led me to say, you know what? I want to keep serving. I want to keep serving in the governmental local area.
But you put yourself out there again, which a lot of us, we have challenges. They define us, and it's very difficult to come back so soon. Was it your love of public service to do that?
I think that's part of it, but it's also just a love of the or taking a look at what I have to offer and saying, where can I best serve? And I knocked on a few doors, and the end result was that I'll put myself out there. I knew I had a lot of supporters, knew that there are some big challenges to overcome coming back from a loss like that. But, you know, take the chance.
What lesson would you tell people that right now, maybe they've lost their job, maybe life isn't going too well for them? You're always an optimist. What can we learn from you?
Well, there again, I say take the opportunities that are given to you. When one door closes, there's going to be another one. But you got to keep knocking. You got to keep looking. And you got to look at your heart. Where does your heart want to take you? Because that's where you're going to be the most effective, is what you love to do.
Tom Dale with us, future Canyon County Commissioner. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Okay, let's talk a little bit about what you're getting yourself into. Not really peace, love, and harmony there when you're thinking about some of the big county issues, the county that you love, that you've been a part of for quite some time. You are embracing the building of a new jail. Mm-hmm. That is easier said than done. What has it been, three attempts so far?
There have been three attempts. Two of them are basically a similar kind of a proposal. You know, Kevin, I really believe that if you look at the numbers and you look statistically at where you need to be, and you, again, look at the long-term vision, what is the long-term cost of the various proposals that are out there, I think it leads you to going to the voters and saying, listen, here's the best, most cost-effective solution, and I believe that is to build a new jail. The sheriff says that's what we need to do. The state jail commission that came and took a look at the plans that are on the table right now said, I'm not sure that's a good idea. So you got to listen to your experts. You got to listen to those people out there who study this and who know what is best, and then make the best approach you can.
Again, you take a look at this 580 KIDO. You've got to convince a skeptical public that they don't want to pay any more money.
Right. Well, you look at the long term. What are you going to pay more money for? Building a short-term solution that soaks up $12 million, $15 million in construction and still leaves you with no long-term solution and extra money out every year for more personnel? Or do you take a view that says, okay, what's it going to cost 10 years? What's it going to cost for 15 years? That's what you have to do, because decisions made at a city level, county level, state level need to be looked at in how they impact people down the road, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Let's talk a little bit about economic opportunities in Canyon County. We seem to be seeing folks in the Magic Valley, some in the Treasure Valley, in Ada County, getting these businesses coming in. We've talked about that when you were the mayor, now a county commissioner, soon to be. What do you do to bring in business? You know all about that.
You bet. Well, we focus on what we're good at. Again, you go with your heart. And what is Canyon County good at? We were built on agriculture. And if you look what's happening in Canyon County right now, the growth in high-tech agricultural types of operations, we have some incredible opportunities to attract manufacturing production related to agriculture. There's some great things going on in Parma that nobody really knows about. The Parma equipment, farm equipment company out there, the Post and Pole company, the expansion of the Watson Onion processing plant out there. That can happen countywide. As at a leadership conference up in the Boise Metro Chamber put on here three weeks ago, and I heard about the brewery. What is it? The Payette Brewing Company.
Right.
They're buying their hops from Wilder and Parma area. Well, let's put a hops producer or a hops processing plant right here in Canyon County, so they don't have to send them up to Yakima to get produced or processed.
We're going to have you stand by. We've got your friend Tom Munns holding. We'll get to him. He's got some questions for you. Also, we'll talk about the fair. Is it moving? Is it staying? Kevin Miller here with Tom Dale, 580 KIDO. From Tom Dale to Tom Munns. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen. Are you there?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
All right. Good morning, Tom, Dale.
Good morning, Tom.
And for the second time, it's a good morning for all of us.
I know. It's a great morning, and I know. Hey, I had a couple of thoughts. One of them is I'm interested to know Tom Dale's position on Bob Henry's position not to support the NDAA, which is the National Defense Authorization Act that basically just gives unlimited detainment and indefinite detainment for American citizens through sections 1021 and 1022. And the other one was...
Hold on.
I'm having a hard time hearing Mr.
Yeah,
Munts.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't bring any headphones for you. Sorry.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, please. Quickly, Tom.
Just
Tom.
Ask him about why he thinks that Bob Henry doesn't support the NDAA, which is an edict coming down from above that gives indefinite detainment to American citizens when cities across the state are passing this resolution.
Well, all right, there we go. Thanks, Tom, for that. So we're talking about the National Defense Authorization Act. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think Bob Henry, as the mayor, has his agenda, and at this point, I'm just not comfortable in commenting on that. I don't really know enough about his motivation for that. So, I'm not going to question him at this point.
All right. Your thoughts on the fairgrounds. What's going to happen there?
Well, I think we need to have a collaborative discussion with all the stakeholders. There's so much conflict going on with that I think we just need to take a few steps back and really try to bring all the parties in together.
Easier said than done again.
Oh, yeah, it's easier said than done. But one of the things that I believe I was able to do in 12 years as mayor is to bring people of differing opinions together, understanding that we have a common goal, but different ideas about how to reach that goal, and then come to a consensus and be able to move forward. And I believe that's what we need here is a meeting of the minds rather than viewing it as conflict.
We go to the phones. We go to Steve in Nampa at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Tom, we'll have to apologize, but we can't really go with that because we've got no headsets here. So Steve in Nampa about Bo Bergdahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great to speak with you. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to chime in about the Bergdahl. I was really unaware of what the situation was with him. I grew up in a military family. I've lived on base. I've seen the lifestyle, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to serve. But at the end of the day, I was really disappointed to learn some of the circumstances around how he was captured. The reality is, and I'm doing my best to not judge him by the actions of his family and try not to take in the actions of the current administration, which are mostly dubious, in my opinion. I feel very strongly that at the end of the day, he is a deserter. Whether he's a traitor, whether he's a collaborator, whether he actually, gave aid to our enemy, that I guess that remains to be seen. And I think, the benefit of the doubt is enough to wait to find out before passing judgment. One thing that really sticks in my mind, though, is if, I don't know if you've ever seen, I'm sure you have, these horrible videos on YouTube of people getting their heads chopped off by the Taliban, and these are some rough characters. And for him to have spent that much time with them, either he has sensitive military intelligence that they needed, or he's converted. And if he's converted, then more than likely I would wonder, I'd lean more towards the traitor. I don't know, but I that's how I feel about it. Your thoughts?
All right, Steve, thank you for the call at 580KIDO. And again, I think we should withhold judgment. I'll tell you this, it's easy that, the theme with you, Tom Dale, focus is easier said than done, withholding judgment on this. When you have people that have bravely served, that have nothing to gain, as Jim and Middleton said earlier today, they have nothing to prove. They're losing everything by coming forward. Mm-hmm. I think that we should have known this, if these allegations are true, a lot earlier.
Well, I think you have a good point there. And again, I want to withhold judgment. We do believe in innocence until proven guilty. There's a lot of facts out there pointing one direction. But again, I come back to the actions of the president that has thrown, I believe, a lot of folks into jeopardy, because now they know that we will negotiate with terrorists. And we know the price. We know the value of one hostage. It's five high-value terrorists.
To be continued.
Yes, it will be continued.
You're listening. By the way, thank you, Tom Dale. We look forward to talking to you soon.
Absolutely, Kevin. God bless you. And, hey, folks, come on down here and give to the Valley Women's Shelter and the Lighthouse Mission. The Boise Rescue Mission is doing a great work here in the Valley, and we really need to be supporting.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, the Walmart Garrity and Franklin Canyon County Commissioner. Craig Hansen with us right now at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How's it going?
Well, I never see you unless I'm in either a shelter or a parking lot. So
I'm not sure which that says about either of us.
I know. We need to get you a little closer to the mic there so we can hear you. Talk a little bit about the big issues coming up, with the county, as always, this issue involving the fair that's getting a lot of headlines.
Basically, with the fair, it's just a matter of there's difference of opinion where it needs to go. The issue we had a couple weeks ago that with myself and the Caldwell Chamber is as a paying dues member to the Caldwell Chamber. I didn't feel that it was right for 9 members to make a decision to send out a political advertisement without consulting the rest of the chamber members who pay dues there. So that's how that controversy really has started.
Well, now, wait a minute. For those of us keeping up at home and don't follow the Caldwell Chamber like Game of Thrones, in your own words, because I won't seek to define what happened, tell us what happened. For entertainment purposes only.
For entertainment purposes only. Well, let's go there. I got a little bit more passionate than
I should
have.
Look, it's okay. I call myself a bell pepper all the time. You're among friends.
I got a little more passionate than I should have, but in describing my opinion of how the chamber was handling situations, and again, 9 members of a board in the chamber that did not go out to the rest of the membership to determine the majority position of the Caldwell Chamber of Commerce members. So I went to the office to address that, and they weren't pleased with my presentation.
Were you screaming at them, I heard?
No.
Okay. So then what happened?
That's basically about it.
That doesn't sound like any news story, though. But
well, you know, you make news because it's politics. If this had happened in a neighborhood, this wouldn't have been a news story. But since I am a county public figure making decisions, and the Caldwell Chamber is, and Mayor Nankolas is, it became news real quick. You know, and the bottom line is, working in law enforcement for about 20 years, if I was going to do an effective report that was directly implicating multiple individuals in government leadership, for one thing, it should have been conflicted out. So as far as the professionalism of what happened with the Caldwell Police Department, they should have conflicted out to another agency, such as NAMPA or state, which happens all the time. And then they never interviewed me for some reason. And usually the ultimate goal in law enforcement is that when you have a situation, you interview all parties involved and talk to them, get their side of the story. But I've never talked to any individuals in this circumstance. And fortunately, Mark Hilty has determined, which is the city attorney that primarily does their civil stuff, determined there was no criminal action involved, which is the case. There was no criminal action involved.
So it's safe for you to go to Caldwell?
I've been back to work every day.
Just checking.
I have no problem going back to work.
Because if you need help, we can get the Scion there, the clown car, and that's a very intimidating vehicle that we have there. I'm sure they backed out and they saw us coming.
That's true. Well, you know, I've learned a lesson.
You're agreeing that our station vehicle's a clown car. Yes, thank you. Oh, my goodness.
We like things to be interesting, and we like to be...
Never a dull moment.
No, it's not, you know. And I've gone out, and I've apologized to my, the employees. You know, it's very humbling to write a email, and I would talk to anybody that wanted to come to my office, or I'd meet with them. But it's very humbling to write an email to 700-plus individuals saying, I made a mistake, and I want to move forward. I want to correct it. Try to hold my passion and my for certain issues to a lower level as far as
it's tough to do. Your passion is your biggest strength and your biggest weakness. I say that from my own experience. And the more you try to do, sometimes they don't remember that you really cared. They remember the bad things, unfortunately, and that's what happens. So, props to you for stepping up. Back to the fair issue. How do you see this playing out again? Whether it's in a new place, the old place, the Idaho Center, where do you see it's going, if anywhere?
Well, right now, with every bit of information, because when I made my determination to go along with the Fair Board's recommendation, I went back and read all the history that I could possibly find, talked with multiple individuals who had been involved over the years, Daryl Bowles being one of them, who just retiring. He's not out yet as far as a state representative, and then made a determination. And then to say that they haven't vetted out certain situations. Dealing first of all with Caldwell, the fair has outgrown the operation there. Football, which is a great program for Caldwell, I support C of I football on what they're doing there. But we've been forced out of using the Simplot Stadium for the fair. The fair board has, so we don't get to use that this year, which has cut down the concerts that they were having, which was a draw factor for people to come in. So it's gone from four to two concerts. There's just multiple other things, how it's negatively affected the operation of the fair. And nobody really wants to step up to the plate and be honest about that. Can't get that input from Caldwell. We have a joint powers agreement that states that the fairgrounds during the fair gets the full use of that entire facility and now we're being told that we can't use it. And again, it's more a matter of let's be honest and say what's out there rather than trying to skirt the issue and be political correct and play the games that politicians like to play. And I'm not real good at those games. So I'm learning lessons in that. I'll never be dishonest, deceitful. My integrity is too important. But I want to go forward and see how we can get this done. As far as the Idaho Center, there is another report that's just been fairly well completed by Rosalie dealing with Craig Balzer, who is the Idaho Center director. And the feasibility that the cost is just astronomical for us to move to that site. It's less expensive for us to move to the site on 2026. So those things are all coming out. And I guess the last thing I would say, I know that former Mayor Tom Dale and County-elect Commissioner Tom Dale was on here. And the thing that I have there is he says he likes to collaborate. Well, I've got to make a statement here. And that was that in July of 2013, I was in his office with Bobby Sanchez, his assistant, and my PIO, Joe Decker. I asked him specifically that time to give me a presentation from the Idaho Center, not a document that said, what are the costs, what's going to be done? And maybe he was too involved in trying to get himself reelected at that point in time, but he never got that to me, and I asked him on that several times. So just putting all that out there, there's things that have got to be, that, you know, when you say you're going to collaborate, you're going to be honest, you're going to want to have all the facts.
Sure.
That's one of those facts, and I could never get that information from him, and he's the one that controlled at that point in time what Mr. Balzer at the Idaho Center was able to do. So there's all those things, and it's just politics.
It is. Well, County Commissioner Hanson, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, and have a great day. And again, last thing I want to say is that I support the Boise Rescue Mission, everything that they're doing. That was what I originally thought I was coming on here to do, was give that support. I'm glad I had the opportunity to speak about those things.
Well, when you're the newsmaker, you know, you're asked about the news as well. I mean, Reverend Bill would like 4 hours about the Valley Women's and Children's, but we've got to cover the news as well. So.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, Reverend Roscoe, Bill Roscoe does a great job, and the Boise Rescue Mission is meeting a lot of needs. And that's the thing that needs to happen, is we need to get government out of providing all these entitlement things. We need to have faith-based organizations and those 501c3s that want to really do the job to help people in need.
All right. And we appreciate your support. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Abe Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
And here we are, day 5 of Miller's Mission. Kevin Miller in the morning, Dave Burnett, Sweet Willard's in the bathroom for all of you keeping score at home at the Walmart Garrity in Franklin. Dave, good to have you with us. It is Friday, and a very significant day, the 70th anniversary of the Normandy invasion.
It is. It is a day that, and I, you know, we've talked about this before. I've got things on my bucket list, places I would like to go. And one of those places, spoken about by this guy some 70 years ago.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the Great Crusade, toward which we have striven these many months.
Dwight David Eisenhower, general at the time, giving his radio speech as they get ready to go on that. So that's one of the places I would like to go. I would like to see Normandy in person.
Yeah, to see the beaches and so many lives lost. And you take a look at the world that was and the post-World War II world that we live in today.
Yeah, our president, who is on the beaches of Normandy today, you know, I could only hope that I'm trying to think of the way to phrase this.
I got to hold on before you go. I was gonna, and this is a very pithy joke for me. Is Bo Bergdahl with him?
No. I could only hope, though.
That was funny.
I'm laughing. No. I was trying to go as long as I could without talking about Bo right now.
Sorry.
I was thinking about this on the way into work, though. I could only hope that standing on the beaches of Normandy, some 9,000 graves of men that gave their lives on that fateful several days there, that there would be something that would stir. And not only that, the thousands of people who turn out, Europeans who turn out to thank America for what they did, for the cost of really a time. And this gets lost in a lot of people's thoughts that, those days on Normandy, it changed the world. It changed the way things are today. one could only hope that the impact of that moment, the emotions, the feelings that come up from that spot could somehow affect him to understand what it is that Americans gave for the freedom of the world.
Yeah, dream on that one.
One could only hope.
Yeah, if he hasn't changed by now, I don't think he is.
Has he been to a D-Day ceremony?
I think he has.
Has he?
I think he's visited Normandy.
Yeah, I was just wondering on D-Day, because as I understand it, I mean, thousands of French, not only for the French, but Europeans show up to thank Americans on that day. And one can only hope.
Well, you know, as I look at the younger generation in this country, to my dismay that anybody ever realizes the sacrifices of the greatest generation. And, you know, I've often wondered, really, if you had to rank the greatest generations in American history, would it be the World War II folks, would it be the Civil War folks, or the Revolutionary War folks? That's my really top three.
Yeah. Boy, each one of those two, and I love reading and studying about those eras. All three of those wars, very different impacts on the people who fought them, and very different. I mean, the Civil War is obviously, it was countrymen against countrymen, and that is difficult, has its own things within itself. The Revolutionary War, most Americans, or those who were in the American colonies at the time, did want to fight it. They just wanted to be left alone. And it wasn't until, really, it was Christmas Day when Washington made his attack and crossed the Delaware that Americans and the media got on the side of the colonists, that changed the tide of that war. And then World War II, very different time, a time where young boys and girls were collecting scrap metal from the streets to go to aid the war effort, where they could crank out a ship out of our, you know, construction yards in months, an entire ship in months. They could have it done and ready to go to battle. Very different time.
Well, it was the last time there was a concept of total war, where you had, you know, the civilian economy, the civilians, along with the military, united for a single cause. You take a look at the impact of the Greatest Generation. We still see their benefits today because they have the most disposable income ever. But they gave us the baby boomers. They gave us the interstate highway system, the GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Really was the birth on a large scale of the American middle class that is under attack, under siege today.
And disappearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very true. You know, how far things have changed in 70 years since D-Day.
And again, as I see the budding intellects of today with their baseball hats on or their earrings, and I'm talking about the men and not even their small earrings, that they have these loop-de-loop things. I will tell you this. It's been a fascinating study here at the Walmart. I saw a guy that had multiple piercings in his face. I saw somebody who should be probably working at the tattoo shop. And I look at those folks, and yes, I will prejudge them. Could any of them have the concept of what it would be like to be on the beaches of Normandy? The only thing, the closest we've all gotten to it is the movie Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, one of my favorite movies, by the way. That makes me cry every time. And I'll admit it right up front in the Manly Man segment, that last scene when he asks his wife, have I been a good man? It gets me right here.
Well, what's she going to say? No?
She doesn't have to say anything. He knows in his own heart one way or the other.
Yeah, it was kind of selfish, I think, of sending Tom Hanks in there.
Fine. Run the movie I like.
No, I was going to say, though, you take a look at, I don't think there has been a better movie that really shows you what those folks were about. Most of us were raised on combat or some of these movies that glorified war. And yet here you have Tom Hanks just wants to go back to his wife. These other guys are upset about the mission. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think the opening scenes of that, and I remember when that movie came out, there was big controversy, and then I think it was WTBS or one of the networks aired it in its entirety, and there was profanity as these guys are coming off of these ducks coming in, landing on the beach, and getting shot as they hit the water, and just the carnage that took place there. See, I can't even fathom it, and as you said, I think that movie is as close that you and I could even imagine what that is. These guys in the back of these landing crafts going, everyone's getting shot who's coming out of there. Holy cow. I can't imagine. I can't even fathom it.
Yeah, and again, 70 years ago today, and, you know, Hitler made a lot of mistakes, and the Allies were very good at a disinformation campaign where they, I want to, because I studied this so much, not as a student of history, but as a kid, because that's what you did when you were young. You learned about World War II. You know, people didn't talk about Vietnam, so I read all the books, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, and, you know, the idea that the Allies had this pilot, and they wanted him to wash on the shores of France. He'd already died of pneumonia, but they put in secret papers detailing the operation, and it wasn't going to be in Normandy, it was somewhere else. It convinced Hitler so much that even when the Reich war machine was getting pummeled, he would not move in the reinforcements, and if Hitler had done that, the Allies wouldn't have been successful on Normandy. All he had to do was rush those troops back, but by the time he did, it was too late.
It was too late, yeah. Which makes me pause and wonder, Kevin, if D-Day were to happen today, with social media, with the media that we have, with the I want to see it happen on TV mentality of today, how different would it be? How different would it be when they say, well, that, you know, it's not fair because the guy who's coming out of the boat, well, you know, he's this or he's that or she's this or she's, and how different the landing in Normandy would be today with today's media, today's high
Google.
Technology, people tweeting as they head out of the dock.
Well, Google Earth.
Exactly. I mean, how different would it be today, than, and would it be successful? Could people keep their mouths shut on the mission?
Well, we did see that with the Bo Bergdahl story, though.
That people kept their mouths shut?
Yeah.
We did, and that's part of the administration saying that, and word coming out that the exchange of the five evidently took place several days before the Bo Bergdahl exchange. I don't know if you saw the Glenn Beck piece on The Blaze where he's talking to Special Forces saying everything they could possibly do wrong in that exchange on the helicopter, they did wrong as far as a technical aspect. Landing in a bowl, allowing people to video it, guys with shoulder-fired rockets on the hillside, the approach they made, all of it wrong, the frisking him down next to the helicopter. You know, there's several Special Forces guys saying, that was just a mess.
Well, and maybe, I hate to say this, maybe the Taliban dictated the terms, but I'm very ignorant at these matters, but I thought to myself, wow, this helicopter's coming in, and I see them surrounded by all these folks. That doesn't look good for the helicopter, and I'm thinking, where are the Apaches? Where are the backups? Where's everything? So if this goes bad, and they were just, you know, with giant sitting ducks.
They were, that, you know, and as you think about it and watch it, I mean, because they panned around, they showed the hillside where those guys with shoulder-fired missiles sitting on the hillsides just waiting for this helicopter to land. That was a tough situation, and I, you know, one would think that the Taliban said, here's the way it's going to come down.
Well, apparently the Taliban's dictating a lot of things. Look, they released the video. They released the video.
Yeah, produced and ready to go.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, and again, it comes down to how united we are as a country. Racially, we were less diverse. Economically, I'd say we were less diverse. And we had more of a spirit of country. Educationally, we were less diverse. How many people are willing to sacrifice for America today? And then you have the administration wanting to make the illegals legal by serving in the military. I mean, how close are we to a mercenary army?
I don't have an answer for that.
I mean, really, that's the troubling fact. And then we have all these robots and drones and everything, that are doing all the work.
Yeah, I mean, think if we had drones back on D-Day, how different things would be then.
Well, just think of this at 580KIDO, how science fiction is becoming science reality with these Iron Man suits, with everything else, these robots that are going to be fighting for us. Very different from, a GI.
Yeah. I would just ask a couple things to ask as we go into D-Day, that you do take some time to pause, to reflect, perhaps go on YouTube. Earlier this morning when I first got in, I watched a clip of some of the original filming of the landing on D-Day. I just watched that, and then I watched Ronald Reagan's speech about D-Day that he had on YouTube as well to do that. And the other thing to remember today, stop by Walmart there on Garrity where Kevin is all set up in the KIDO tent right outside the main door as you go in. It was nice yesterday seeing some folks, listeners and others, come dropping by items for kids and for the women's shelter. It was a nice thing to see yesterday, Kevin.
Yeah, it's been a great adventure, and we're very close to the amount of money that we raised in November, which would be huge considering that everybody gives in November as opposed to this time of year. And really our goal, Dave, is to do this yearly and to really, hopefully, imitation is the greatest form of flattery, to partner with more local businesses in addition to Airstream Adventures Northwest, our friends at Team Mazda Subaru and the Boise Rescue Mission, to really say, hey, before the vacation, and it's funny because you did a piece on Miller's Mission that made Inside Radio, and I was reading some of the comments, and this guy goes, ha, that Miller guy looks like he hasn't missed a meal. And then he went on to say, oh, it's a stunt, and why doesn't he do something legitimate? And I'm thinking, well, gee, you can't make that person happy. And, he had a problem with the wording of just even saying homeless and vacation is insulting. And I'm thinking, no, that's the reality of people, you know, they've got the boats out. They've got the trailers out. Pat from Middleton's out landscaping. People are focused on other things instead of, you know, the needy and the homeless and people that need a hand up this time of year.
Yep. And I would say if you're going out camping, if you're enjoying the outdoors, maybe boating, before you go, stop and drop something off, you know. Maybe it'll make you feel better. It will help somebody else. I'll tell you that right now, whether it makes you feel better or not. It will help somebody else, and that's a good thing.
Or if you're a wretched sinner like me, look, this is the time to atone for your sins.
There you go. And if you don't want to drop something off, drop off some cash. They'll even take a check.
Right, and not only here, but at all the Walmarts in the Treasure Valley, there are bins for the Boise Rescue Mission, so that would be really good. You know, it's funny, we always hear about Willard here and the biggest sports story, at least, of the month. And Willard is out there running around talking about movies, and he missed his window.
He did. You know, we could have talked about the new thing going on at Purdue, putting students' pictures on the helmets of the Purdue Boilermakers, but nope, Will missed it. We'll have to do that another day.
Maybe, who knows if he'll ever have another opportunity.
Well, time will tell. Kevin, traffic now. Is you coming?
Don Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning at the Walmart of Garrity and Franklin. Coming up, our interview with Sean Hannity, if you missed it yesterday, also available on our website, our podcast. The reason why we're sharing this with you again, we realize sometimes you and the 6 don't get what the 8 gets, and it'll be good to get some personal insight into Sean Hannity, who he was before he became this national media star. We're also proud to have him on the air. I've known Sean for almost 20 years. He's always been good to me personally. As I was telling Big Mike here at the Walmart yesterday, and he goes, look, I never even heard of your station until I was looking for Sean Hannity, so we're happy to get so many new listeners. Also, Miller's Mission continues as well. Governor Otter, Senator Crapo will join us as we continue on with the fallout over Bo Bergdahl. Let's get you to work safely and on time. But I want to thank the Press Tribune for picking this up. You always get more when you give. Of course, you're not giving to get. Well, maybe Willard is. Anyway, big thanks to Airstream Adventures Northwest Boise, Team Mazda Subaru, the Boise Rescue Mission, and you. Coming up, Sean Hannity, Kevin Miller, Great Americans on 580 KIDO. Good morning.